This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Russian siege continues in the Ukraine, this time perhaps a step way too far. In fact, I'm going to go out on the limb and say I think all of us would agree on that. Wait till I give you the details. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. So this is what happens when you think, well, you know, there's going to be a little bit of break to let people evacuate. Didn't happen for women who were getting ready to give birth or children who were in a hospital. So there was a Russian airstrike at this hospital in Mariupol. It destroyed buildings, including a hospital maternity ward. So it was only 7 or 8 days since Russia encircled that city, which is a huge port on the southern coast of the Ukraine. And in fact, most of any communications with the rest of the world have been severed and there, and people don't have electricity or heat, so that was already bad enough. But they're really pounding it. There are people that are saying that there are just bodies lying in the streets. So that effort to negotiate a ceasefire to give civilians that chance to escape obviously failed, and this is an example of Mariupol. It failed. Because there was mortar, there was artillery fire, and there was the hit on that hospital where pregnant women about to give birth, there were a couple of them, didn't give birth. And there were kids that were killed. It was nasty. What else is happening when it comes to Russia and trying to cripple them economically speaking? Something is working because the ruble continues to slide. It was terrible on Wednesday again. Russia's central bank is trying to support the ruble with rules, different rules, preventing exchanges into dollars, and they're finding themselves in a contest against the West, and I think they're losing. Then there is, unfortunately, from the rest of the world economy's point of view, the loss of Russian oil is causing some major upheavals, and it's going to be worse on the markets. They haven't seen this in decades because it hasn't been that bad, but it is just that bad now. So global production is going to take time to ramp up. The U.S. and other buyers have to chase whatever tiny supplies are out there, and that's what's causing that upheaval. Supply and demand is basic. Traders are bidding up crude prices to levels we haven't seen in a long time. Russia is one of the top three oil producers. So you've got the American embargo. You have the prices that are climbing higher. Yikes. Do you have a bicycle? Is it perhaps sitting in your garage? It's almost springtime. You can pump up the tires. I don't know. Can you ride and do your errands that way? In all seriousness, you're going to be paying a lot more for gasoline. This is just the very beginning of this. The prediction is it's going to last through till the end of the year and the beginning of next year. The beginning of next year. Wow. I mean, that's what happens. So what were we thinking? Of course this was going to happen. And then you've got Chernobyl. The Ukrainian types, the official types, are saying that the damage by Russian forces left the site of the nuclear disaster dependent on generators. That it is still serious, but it's not a critical situation. Every time you see anything having to do with like Three Mile Island or any of what's happened, Chernobyl is one of those places, what happened way back when, and to see the ruins of Chernobyl's Reactor 4, the explosion, the fire, the worst nuclear accident in history, before the construction of a containment structure around it. Oh. So the International Atomic Energy Agency, the United Nations Agency on Nuclear Power, said it saw no critical impact on safety. Whew. Thank goodness. I mean, the plant hasn't produced electricity since the last of its four reactors was shut down in 2000. But if its generators stopped working, that would affect operations to store large quantities of radioactive nuclear waste. So you don't want that to happen. I mean, there was big concerns about that and what could happen. I mean, there's some pretty hazardous waste at Chernobyl, and they're in a couple of different locations. Wow. And you go back to 2017 and the destroyed reactor that's been covered by a large arched structure. And the idea is to confine the waste and safeguard against any release of radiation. Any release of radiation. So scary. Scary to think about that. And then in Russia, I love these people, these anti-war protesters. You know, they estimate about 13,000. That's a pretty decent crowd, 13,000. And knowing that they can easily be arrested. And they just disappear. And then they come back, but not right away. Not right away. Something we talked about briefly, I think I mentioned this the other day, McDonald's and Starbucks closed all their outlets in Russia. Done. Oh, and the Russian people loved going to the Golden Arches. But it's out for now because of the pandemic. All right, speaking of being out, the tennis player who ripped through the field in Indian Wells in Southern California not too long ago, Novak Djokovic, was included in the field for this week's Indian Wells. So that's good, because otherwise he's really not playing in any of the majors because he's not vaccinated. So he's missed out on a couple of very big tournaments because of that. President Biden signed an order that would direct the government to come up with a plan to regulate cryptocurrencies. Are you into crypto? See how I segged into that? We're complaining about the price of gas at the pumps, but then there's crypto. What is it? Do you understand it? Do you have some in a wallet? Some people have made a lot of money on cryptocurrencies. So anyway, the president signs an executive order that's going to coordinate efforts among financial regulators to better understand the risks presented by the digital assets. I think, depending on your age, some people want none of it. They don't care. What is it backed by? They're just not playing that game. I think the move that the president made probably was smart. It's probably a response to the growth in digital assets. The number of countries that explore central bank digital currencies. And, of course, American technology leads in that department. Direct financial regulators continue to work with that started last year, including studying and reporting on the creation of a digital dollar. That's big, because that's what we're starting to see, again, in some countries exploring the central bank digital currencies. So how this innovation is taking place and how fast it moves into the mainstream is good. I think in some cases, because the backing is there, meaning the structure you can really kind of wrap your arms around. I think that's part of the problem that crypto has in trying to get people to understand its value and really watch it and know what they are looking at. Just the facts, as we know them to be true, coming up.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Has something cool going on. I mean, they have a lot of things in the works, movies and series, some of them super interesting, but a trivia quest. Now, check this out. It's a TV series that would require you and me, viewers, to correctly answer questions to move the story along. And it follows Cat Burglar, another quick trivia TV game. And apparently that's pretty fun, but not fun if you don't answer the questions, because then you're stuck. So if you want it to keep moving the story, you can't fall asleep on the couch or in the chair or whatever. You're playing, and so if you want to know what's happening, you gotta play along and answer the questions. I love it because it's a way to get people interactively involved, right? So they're not just sitting there passively watching, zoning out. No, you got to play. So Trivia Quest is a narrative. They call it a narrative interactive experience. So each win helps move the story forward. You have to answer the game's questions. And then you get the help of some of the free help from the friends of the protagonist, Willie, who is vowing to save the hostage citizens of Trivia Land, captured by knowledge-hungry villain Evil Rocky. Oh, these names are sad. But I think it's a great idea. I do. I think it's a smart idea. That's what I think it is. It's a smart idea because that's how you get people in. You get them engaged. You keep the engagement up. Disney is a little bit of the opposite. Disney is saying that they have an ad-supported subscription tier that debuts later this year at a lower price point, because they want to reach 230 million to 260 million subscribers by 2024. So they got to get more subscribers, and they're competing against everything under the sun. Everything is streaming, right? It makes it good if you're a consumer, because it's easy to find documentaries or whatever else it is that you want to watch. But watching and binging, and then you've got to have these commercials that keep coming on, and then they tell you how long the commercials are. It's kind of, because you get spoiled, right? So it's kind of, I don't want to say infuriating. It's annoying. That's what it is. It's annoying. Because it'll be great. It's rolling along. But, oh, yeah, this isn't like just moving the story. Now I have to move the story, and I have to stop, and I have to do that. I'm not so sure. It does have an audience, or they wouldn't have done it. They absolutely have an audience. And this is brilliant, by the way. Verizon, just the facts as I know them to be true, is launching a Plus Play, a service that helps customers manage all their streaming subscriptions through Verizon. I mean, do you ever get these like little bills and it's one of these streaming things and you have no idea what it is? Why did Apple bill me $6.99? I don't understand. And then you forget, oh yeah, I clicked that button. Do you ever click the button too quickly? Oh, maybe I shouldn't have hit that button after all. I see what happens. So there you have it. I might have mentioned this on a previous show, but it's perfect for just the facts. Raise your hand if you have a garage door. Well, I see lots of hands going up. But what's scary is if you look at finding a new door, it's tough. It's very, very tough. A garage door? Forget about it. Forget about it. Oh, and if your garage door just goes out all of a sudden, the worst when that happens. Waiting and then the installation. I mean, it's just what happens with cars, right? Of course. But you have the supply chain crisis, and garage doors have components that have been in short supply. Spray foam, insulation, steel, parts of steel, same problem. So, you know, where you have these record prices that are pushing people away from cities where the need for a car and a garage, yeah, they're pretty high. So you have to have a garage door. You have to, because I don't know what the way around that would be. That's the idea of the garage. But tough, again, tough to find garage doors. Who would know? I would have never listed the 10 things that are so much harder now. That wouldn't have been one of them. Finding a new garage door. No. And of course it's terribly hard. Oh, that'd be the worst. You can't pull in, you gotta park out front of the house or back of the house or whatever it is. Oh, that would be, see how spoiled we are? That'd be the worst if that happened. The worst, right? All right, Lululemon, there is no bounds. I love mentioning brands when they're in these markets that I'm kind of surprised, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised. They're entering footwear. They've got the launch of their first sneaker style. They're doing that on the 22nd. So smart, right? See the need, fill in the gap, do something about it. Do something about it. That's a good trend to look at, because if it fits, if the shoe fits, if it fits, it's perfect. And I think that's one thing the pandemic did open up, our thirst for being satisfied, that things are just not going to make you happy. Not going to happen. Not going to work. Definitely not. So we've been talking a lot about Ukraine invasion, and then there's the other side, but they're not getting many people with true confessions or leading them down that path at all. I mean, the risks are pretty great. The unintended impacts on civilians is something that's being talked about a lot. So what do? You have to recognize that the Ukraine, I think, is in a terrible situation. And it might mean unprecedented types of members. Just the other week, the Ukrainian IT army was announced by Vice President Fedorov, 2 days after Russia had an unprovoked invasion of the country. This initiative is focused mainly on forcing Russian websites offline to not cause the possible hacking or sensitive information or whatever it might be. I'm assuming a lot of it is gentle as can be and worth looking at. But you've got the cyber attack spectrum, which can be incredibly disruptive and harmful, and you name it, and it fits those all those categories. Fits them all. I got a couple of these in the mailbag, but one of the things that kept coming up again and again and again was, is it safe to go outside without a mask on? The answer to that is it depends on the place. I think if you were stuffed to the brim with too many people, it might be just too much, I'm thinking. So, looking and going along those same lines of where we are right now, and this is so Russia for the good publicity, what's happening there with governor versus mayor, etc., is at play. In the meantime, while that's all going on, more than half the world away, a brother awaits. Ukraine's IT army is doing well, hitting Russia with costs and chaos. So it's helping cut down on some of those cyber attacks. And the IT army in the Ukraine is trying to expand beyond basic attacks, is what they know it to be true, and it works. But finding another buddy, and that's why those two turned out to grow on you, and you realize the value of the two of them. And so as soon as Jethro is out, they change immediately some of what's in the backyard, which we think is spectacular. So the IT part of it, the distributed denial of service, the DDoS, and then the cyber attacks that are just so tough for Russia, for all these sites to defend, right? That's what makes it tough. All right, so I'm going to squeeze in another one, and our last one is Hojo. I think that's a reference to Howard Johnson, but I don't know that for sure. So it just says, Hojo, Hojo to the rescue. Hey, Kate, I understand why people don't want to work because they were working ridiculously hours. I mean, how many pizzas can you scarf down? Terrible food, be sedentary, and think it's going to turn around. Of course it's not. Faye Chow joins us for a conversation about cultural differences between China and the U.S. Also, General Baker, how did he get there, how did he stay there, and what did he learn about leadership? Woohoo!
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News.
A judge has put his foot down when it comes to the removal of a Navy commander.
A federal judge in Florida has stopped the Navy from removing a commander of a destroyer while he seeks a religious exemption from the vaccine, even though he has allegedly disobeyed the service's rules for coronavirus mitigation. The judge's ruling is part of a case that seeks to be a class action lawsuit on the military's vaccine mandate filed by more than 30 unnamed officers and enlisted personnel from all of the military branches in November of 2021. Judge Stephen Merriday criticized the Navy's contention that mitigation measures other than vaccination are not as effective as the vaccination itself. From the USA Radio Washington Bureau, I'm John Hunt.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says he's vetoed a new congressional redistricting plan for the state because it lacks a second majority black district. You're listening to USA Radio News. U.S. immigration authorities are turning to smartphones to keep tabs on immigrants and ensure they attend their deportation hearings. Immigrants who are released from detention or stopped on the border are being required to snap a selfie or call to check in with federal agents using an app on their phones. Immigration and Customs Enforcement declined to answer questions about the app. Sad news rocked the medical profession in Michigan on Wednesday after the president and CEO of My Michigan Health, Diane Postler Slattery, and her husband, Don, died in a plane crash in Florida on Tuesday night. She and her husband leave behind 3 children and 5 grandchildren. And Conrad Janis, best known for his role on Mork and Mindy and as a successful jazz trombonist, has died at the age of 94. His business manager said Janis was surrounded by friends at the time of his death. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
She has a great sense of humor and a really interesting book. Faye Chow joins us, and her book is called Memoir of Half a Banana. Faye, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So we have to start with the title of the book and explain to everybody what you mean by that. What is Memoir of Half a Banana? Why half a banana?
All right. I consider myself half a banana because I am yellow on the outside, but a little white on the inside. My children who are born in America say they are bananas. So I settle for half a banana.
That is very, very clever. And that's a common saying, right? Because you explained to me there's also egg. There's also the reference of egg.
Right. If a white person thinks and acts like a Chinese, then he or she may be referred to as an egg. White on the outside, but yellow on the inside.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It's not a slur. It's just a common, you know, it's just a common colloquial thing.
Right, right. Yeah. Right. It's just a clever comparison.
Yeah.
With people with food.
Yeah, with food, exactly. And it's funny. And I feel like we should say this because you revealed a funny secret to me. You know, I introduced you, Faye Chow is your name. And so how do you think listeners, Faye spells her last name? If you were thinking C-H-O-W, forget it. Because her husband said what? What did your husband say?
My husband doesn't want people to associate our last name with food or eating.
So instead, let's call it C-H-O-U.
Yeah. At the time, he loves Zhou Enlai, who spells his last name C-H-O-U. You know, the premier of China.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I love it. So let's talk about you and the fact that, I mean, obviously you speak Mandarin. Tell me about growing up. What was life like? Because you spent a lot of your life really in the United States.
Yes, most of my life I have spent in U.S. But I was born in Taiwan and all through elementary school. And then due to my father's work, we lived in Arlington, Virginia for 3 years. So I went to American junior high school. That's where I learned my English. At that time, I didn't speak one word of English when we came. So it was very difficult for me. I almost cried every day because I didn't know how to do my homework. So my father was teaching me every day. You know, he looks at my textbook. He figures out how to do the new math and then teaches me.
Clever. And it worked. Absolutely. And so for you, when we started talking off the air, you were talking about wanting to be the bridge. Explain that.
Yes. After my junior high school in America, I went back to Taiwan to go to high school and then college, National Taiwan University. So, and after that, I came back to America. So I have been back and forth several times, and I noticed that there was cultural shock and reverse cultural shock as well. So I wanted to let American readers or Western readers know a little about the Chinese tradition, Chinese culture, history, and also vice versa. I plan to rewrite my book in Chinese, by the way.
Nice.
Right.
So you'll have it in both languages. So what do you think are some of the things that you would want, and you've said it in your book, but what are some of the things in the book you talk about Chinese culture that you would like Western people to know?
I think traditional upbringing, being very controlling and strict in raising their children versus the American way of encouraging and the freedom, letting the children develop on their own. This is the main difference to me, I think, because I was brought up the traditional way, but I didn't like it. So I raised my children the opposite way, and I encourage them, and I help them, I support them in any interest that they that they want to develop. So I think my children grew up perfectly. They have confidence. They are capable. So I would think that the Chinese can learn from that and, you know, just let go a little bit more.
Let go a little bit more. Yeah, wow. And that's so interesting because of how you grew up. Absolutely. What do you think is another thing that is a cultural difference between China and the U.S.?
I think after thousands of years of imperialism and feudalistic ideas, people have more a feeling of respect and obedience towards authoritative figures. This is true towards, I guess, officials, government officials, and also in businesses, the bosses. There is more loyalty towards the employer, I think, than the Western businesses.
Mm. Boy, isn't that interesting? Because you see that we're having a cultural shakeup in America when it comes to work of all sorts, and of course
right.
around the world too. With the when we were in the pandemic and then out of the pandemic of who's working from home and all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in China. And Taiwan and Hong Kong, as you say, talking about the boss, people work long hours, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I was hired as a senior editor in Beijing by a Taiwan publishing company for a few months. And at that time, I was surprised that I was expected to go, show up in the office earlier than anybody else. and also leave later than anybody else. It's not 9 to 5 at all. So, and I was told that that's to be expected by all the Taiwanese employees.
Wow.
Right.
I would be remiss not to ask you this. We see what's happening with Taiwan and Hong Kong, and what do you feel about that situation? I would imagine you're concerned.
As far as COVID-19, I am concerned, of course. As far as politics, well, there is a saying in Chinese that says, the sky is high, the emperor is far. So to me, politics has very little to do with me. But my husband is more interested than I, and he would tell me, oh, this is what is happening now. So I do know what's going on, but I don't involve myself too much.
I like that saying, the sky is high. Boy, that's so interesting. Memoir of Half a Banana, Fei Chao, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
I would like for readers to know that no matter how different your background or your upbringing is, people are basically the same. So I would like for people to, all people to get along. We still feel sad when we encounter difficulties, and we feel happy when things go right. So no matter the color of our skin or the cultural background, I hope that all people can get along.
Oh, what a wonderful sentiment, a perfect place to end this. Fei, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was very nice talking with you. I'm very honored.
So I love Fei Chao's sense of humor, absolutely. You know, even the title, Memoir of Half a Banana, and talking about her kids and then talking about, for her, culturally, the big differences between where she was and the United States and those crazy hours. You're expected to be there way before everybody else, and you're expected to stay late. That's it, period, end of story, when she was the senior editor in Beijing for a Taiwan newspaper. And I was just reading a fascinating story, and Fei would appreciate this, that the U.S. is losing talent because of a slowing population growth, the education system breaking down, and a resistance to immigration. China, on the other hand, is trying to formulate some new rules that would actually be a thumbs up to bring in talent from the rest of the world, because that's not something that they normally do. And I was looking at some numbers, and I got these from Bloomberg, and China only handed out 1,576 green cards to foreigners in 2016. That's a year where the U.S. handed out hundreds of thousands, if not, they say, probably millions of them. So it shows you how hard it is to get permanent residency in China. And for the U.S. with talent, there was plenty of talent from within the country and without. So you look at the American economy now, but now the talent model has been flawed, and especially because of what we just have gone through in the world, where people are saying, it's the great resignation, yeah, I'm not going to do this anymore, right? And what used to be so powerful was pulling people in from the whole world, right? Getting the right talent and the right components to explode companies. And of course, use plenty of people who were born and raised here, but also using talent from people from other places in the planet to plug in, and, you know, highly skilled workers, etc. So it's interesting to see where we've come and where we're going, and especially, like I said, from the great resignation point of view, what workers are instead opting to do. And there is definitely a very, very big problem that's brewing, not just in the United States, but I think other places, you know, too. And one thing I would say about China is elders are held in great respect and treated both that way in business and socially, but it's a little bit different in the United States. Sometimes older generations, they're away from their children, they're isolated, and the American workplace is a little more ageist to older people, but that is also changing. Fascinating book. All right, stay with us. More to come on the flip side. those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Is Rise Above, Use a Military Mindset for Success in Any Field. We have General H. Brent Baker Sr. with us. He's written this book, and I'll tell you what, it's a game changer. If you read this book, I think you're going to find some incredible leadership and some amazing takeaways for sure, and some motivation, absolutely. All right, thank you so much for coming on, General Baker. We appreciate it.
Kate, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be with you today.
What led you to writing the book after a lifetime of really leadership and incredible experiences? What was it that made you say, I'm going to do this?
Well, for my whole life and career, I consider myself a student of leadership. And after serving in the military for 37 years, so I started out, you know, spent 6 years enlisted, 31 years as an officer, rising to the rank of general officer. I really thought I had something to share on leadership. And, you know, it's an interesting, I think, perspective. You know, I tried to make the book really reflective where people think about their leadership style. But the main reason I really was inspired to write it is I just really want to help other leaders that are out there. They either want to become leaders or become better leaders, and that was really my inspiration.
So for you to get to the position that you were, what was it like in your military career? Take us back to that.
Well, it was really a wonderful journey. You know, I started out, as I mentioned, I spent 6 years as an enlisted person, which I really cherished that time. And I come from a military family. Most of my family has served. So I was really inspired to serve my country. I said, well, you know, if I'm going to stay in the military, I'm going to try to become an officer. And I did that. And then just blessed to be able to become a general officer, which is fairly rare, I believe. The term when you go from enlisted to an officer is called a Mustang. And then to go from, a officer to a general officer, it's fairly rare. So, and then I was also a 7-time commander. I led really like large units, small units. So I think I have a really unique perspective on leadership. But the way I crafted the book, I tried to write it, just like you said in the title, where you can take the best of a military mindset and try to be able to use that in any leadership endeavor.
Yeah, and that's what's so prevalent in this book. And again, the full title, it Orders from the General, Leadership Advice from a 2-Star General, Rise Above, Use a Military Mindset for Success in Any Field. So you have leadership tips. Give us an example of some of those.
Well, I think one leadership tip I like to use, and there's 50 actually leadership tips in the book, but one is about the importance of communication. I think one of the hardest things we do as humans, and definitely as leaders, is being able to communicate properly and communicate our message. And so I really do talk a lot about in the book about the importance of communication. Another great tip is the power of leading by example. And I really try to kind of weave that throughout the book too, that we're always being observed, and people really will look and see what you're doing. And probably even more than what you say, they really look and observe at what you do. So those are just some of the, 3 of the 50 tips I've kind of tried to weave throughout the book.
Yeah, and you have such a unique perspective. For you in that position, take us back to your actual service days, and what was that like? What was it like where you were and what you had to do?
Well, I think what's really unique about the military and is really wonderful for people is you're really kind of thrust into leadership roles very early. And that's going to be a little bit different than the private sector where you spend a lot of time working your way to leadership position. In the military, like as a brand new lieutenant, I had 100 person. I was in charge of the presidential fuel flight at Andrews Air Force Base. So very large job, a lot of people working for me, large responsibility. And, I'm like 24 years old. Mm. And so I think that's a unique perspective in the military is you're thrown into or thrust into leadership positions early and often with a lot of responsibility, a lot of people. And it could be managing under very difficult circumstances as well. And that's why I think when people read the book, they'll see the military flavor throughout, but I've really tried to craft it in such a way that it's more reflective than prescriptive in nature. So people can ask themselves, well, how would I lead in this situation? Or what is my leadership style? But I do use a lot of the military mindset to kind of drum all that out.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mustang, and you describe what it is, a Mustang rising to the ranks of a general officer is so rare. You mentioned it's like probably less than 1%, and then serving as a commander 7 times and giving us that description of being 24 years old, and you've traveled around the world, and certainly you've led small organizations and big organizations, and you've worked in the private sector. What is the biggest difference between the private sector and the military, and how you're trying to combine that, and what somebody can learn in the private sector from the military?
Well, it's so interesting because when you're in the military, you kind of hear like little horror stories about working in the private sector and how cutthroat it can be, and the almighty dollar drives everything, but I will tell you that has not been really my experience. And what I've discovered is that the private sector is very similar to the military in such a way that, there's a lot, high standards. They're very ethical because, they don't want to impact their bottom line. Now, it is true in the private sector, you're driven by more of the bottom line, being able to make a profit, things like that. The military is more about readiness, but I think a lot of the leadership values that you learn in the military, again, being a student of leadership, they're very applicable in the civilian role, and I've kind of learned that. So to me, there are some differences, like maybe what motivates people is a little bit different, and you know, how people look at the bottom line. Again, the military is more about readiness, and civilian companies is, you know, more making profit. But I think a lot of the leadership examples that I use in the book, really they're applicable in both spaces.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and you talk about what is different about your book, and you just gave us some examples of that, and what a reference book this can be. And I think one of the things that we see happening, and you know this, Brent, is that we live in such a crazy, especially with technology and what's happened in the world, we live in such an incredibly fast-paced, changing world. So we really need strong leaders in organizations, don't we?
I think we do. I think leadership is needed now more than ever.
Yeah.
And I actually think in some ways we have a lack of leadership throughout, I'm just saying, the world, throughout our country. And I think, you know, technology has caused some of that, although, you know, technology should actually help make you a better leader. But I think, you know, a great example I like to talk about is, you know, leaders have to make decisions. Well, in today's world, especially with like email and Snapchat and all the, you know, Facebook, and to me, it's just easy to kind of pass decisions along to somebody else. But to me, you can't do that. As a leader, you have to take charge. You have to make decisions. You have to communicate effectively. So, but I do agree. I think your premise is spot on. We need leaders now more than ever. And that was part of the inspiration of why I wrote the book. It doesn't show you everything you'll ever need to go about leadership, but I really did try to come up with the leadership principles and advice that I think are timeless, and these leadership principles that I call out of the book, I think will hopefully stand the test of time.
Yeah, and I think they absolutely do, and I think you've really told us, but I'll throw this out anyway, just in case there's something you want to add to that. What do you hope the takeaways are for the readers who read the book and they're learning from it?
Well, I think a couple of, you know, takeaways that, if you're really interested in being a leader, it's a lifelong journey. And I said earlier, I kind of consider myself a student of leadership. And I hope people will read the book and become students of leadership and read not just my book, but other books, and also look around for leadership examples. You know, I like to tell folks that, you know, we're all leaders in some way, whether you're either being a good leader or a bad leader or whether you realize that, but people are always looking to you as a leader. And so I hope when people read the book, they're inspired, like I mentioned earlier, like to reflect on what they do in leadership, how they can become better leaders. And I really hope they aspire to be lifelong leaders and continue their education and, you know, read and do as much as they can to really help themselves and set themselves up for success.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. And the book, again, is called Orders from the General, Leadership Advice from a Two-Star General, Rise Above, Use a Military Mindset for Success in Any Field. General H. Brent Baker, Sr., thank you so much for coming on. You can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you this morning.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.